Number two, the second duty of piety wherein we must provoke ourselves is in hearing of the word. We may bring our bodies to the preaching of the word with ease, but not our hearts, without offering violence to ourselves. When we come to the word preached, we come to a business of the highest importance. Therefore, we should stir up ourselves and hear with the greatest devotion. Luke chapter 19, verse 48. All the people were very attentive to hear him. In the Greek, it is, they hung upon his lip. When the word is dispensed, we are to lift up the everlasting doors of our hearts, that the King of glory may enter in. That's Psalm 24. Number one, how far are they from offering violence to themselves in hearing, who scarcely mind what is said, as if they were not at all concerned in the business? They come to church more for custom than conscience. My people come to you as they usually do, and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31 through 32. If we could tell them of a rich purchase, or of some place of worldly advancement, they would diligently attend. But when the word of life is preached, they disregard it. Number two, how far are they from offering violence to themselves in hearing, who come to the word in a dull, drowsy manner, as if they came to church for the purpose of drowsing? The word is to feed us. It is strange to sleep at the dinner table. The word judges men. It is strange for a prisoner to fall asleep at the time of his sentencing. To such sleepy hearers, God may say, sleep on. He may allow them to be so stupefied that no ordinance shall be heard by them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. The devil is never asleep, but sows the tares of sin in a drowsy hearer. That we may, when we come to the word, offer violence to ourselves and stir up ourselves to hear with devotion, consider, number one, that it is God himself who speaks to us. If a judge gives a verdict upon the bench, all listen. If a king speaks, all pay attention. When we come to the word, we should think thus with ourselves. We are to hear God in this preacher. Therefore, Christ is said to speak to us from heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Christ speaks in his ministers, as a king speaks in the person of his ambassador. When Samuel knew it was the Lord who spoke to him, he lent an ear. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Those who slight God speaking in his word shall hear him speaking to them in his wrath. Psalm chapter 2, verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Number two, let us consider the weightiness of the matters delivered to us. As Moses said to Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I have set before you life and death. We preach to men of Christ and of eternal recompenses. Here are the weightier matters of the law. And it does not all, or and does not all this call for serious attention? There is a great deal of difference between a common news article read to us and a letter of personal business where our whole land and estate is concerned. In the word preached, our eternal salvation is concerned. And here we are instructed to the kingdom of God, and if ever we will be serious, it should be now. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 47. It is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Number 3. If the word is not regarded, it will not be remembered. Many complain they cannot remember. Well, here's the reason. God punishes their carelessness in hearing with forgetfulness. He allows Satan to take away the word from them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. The fowls of the air came and devoured the seed. The devil always comes to church, but it is not with any good intention. He takes away the word from men. How many have been robbed of the sermon and their souls, both at once? Number 4. It may be the last time that God will ever speak to us in His Word. It may be the last sermon that ever we shall hear. And we may go from the place of hearing to the place of damning. Did people think thus when they come into the house of God? Perhaps this will be the last time that God will counsel us about our souls. Perhaps this is the last time that ever we shall see our minister's face. Oh, with what devotion would they come? How would their affections be all on fire in hearing? We give great attention to the last speeches of friends. A parent's dying words are received as oracles. Oh, let all this provoke us to diligence in hearing. Let us think that this may be the last time that Aaron's bell shall sound in our ears. And before another day, we shall be in another world. Number 3. The third duty wherein we are to offer violence to ourselves is in prayer. Prayer is a duty which keeps the trade of piety flowing. When we either join in prayer with others or pray alone, we must use holy violence. It is not eloquence in prayer, but the violence that carries it. Theodorus, speaking of Luther, once, says he, I overheard Luther in prayer. With what life and spirit did he pray? It was with so much reverence, as if he were speaking to God. Yet with so much confidence as if he had been speaking to his friend. There must be a stirring up of the heart. Number 1, to prayer. Number 2, in prayer. Number 1, there must be a stirring up of the heart to prayer. Job chapter 11, verse 13. If you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him, this preparing of our hearts by holy thoughts and going forth with them. The musician first tunes his instrument before he plays. Number 2, there must be a stirring up of the heart in prayer. Prayer is a lifting up of the mind and soul to God, which cannot be done rightly without offering violence to oneself. The names given to prayer imply violence. It is called wrestling, Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, and a pouring out of the soul, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, both of which imply vehemency. The affection is required as well as invention. The apostle speaks of an effectual fervent prayer, which is a parallel phrase to offering violence. Number one, alas, how far from offering violence to themselves in prayer are those who give God a dead, heartless prayer. God would not have the blind offered Malachi chapter 1 verse 8, the good offer, or the offering, of the blind is as the same as if they had offered the dead. Some are half asleep when they pray, and will sleep, and will a sleepy prayer ever awaken God? Let me read that again just to make it right. Some are half asleep when they pray, and will a sleepy prayer ever awaken God? Such as mind not their own prayers, how do they think that God should mind them? Those prayers God likes best are the ones which come seething hot from the heart. Number two, alas, how far are they from offering violence? Are those who give God distracted prayer? While they are praying, they are thinking of their shop and trade. How can he shoot right whose eye is quite off the mark? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31. Their heart goes after their covetousness. Many are casting up their accounts in prayer, as Hiram once complained of himself. How can God be pleased with this? Will a king tolerate that while his subject is delivering a petition and speaking to him, that he should be playing with a feather? When we send our hearts on an errand to heaven, how often do they loiter and play by the wayside? Well, this is a matter of blushing, that we may offer violence to ourselves, and by fervency, feathering the wing of prayer, let these things be duly weighed. Number one, the majesty of God with whom we have to do. He sees how it is with us in prayer, whether we are deeply affected with those things we pray for. The king came in to see the guests. Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. So when we go to pray, the King of Glory comes in to see in what frame we are. He has a window which looks into our breasts. And if he sees a dead heart, he may turn a deaf ear. Nothing will sooner make God's anger wax hot than a cold prayer. Number two, prayer without fervency and violence is no prayer at all. It is speaking, not praying. Lifeless prayer is no more prayer than the picture of a man is to a man. To say a prayer is not to pray. Ashanius taught his parrot the Lord's Prayer. It is the violence and wrestling of the affections that make it a prayer. Otherwise, it is no prayer. Number three, the zeal and violence of the affections in prayer best suits God's nature. He is a spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24. And surely, that prayer which is full of life and spirit is the savory food that he loves. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Spirituality and fervency in duty is like the spirits of wine, which are the more refined part of the wine. Bodily exercise profits nothing. It is not the stretching of the lungs, but the vehemency of the desire that makes music in God's ears. Number four, consider the need we have of those things which we ask in prayer. We come to ask the favor of God, and if we have not his love, all that we enjoy is cursed to us. We pray that our souls may be washed in Christ's blood, and if he washes us not, we have no part in him. John chapter 13, verse 8. Such are these mercies, that if God denies us, we are forever undone. Therefore, what violence we need to put forth in prayer. When will a man be earnest, if not when he is begging for his life? 5. Let it provoke violence in prayer to consider that those things which we ask, God has a mind to grant. If a son asks nothing but what his father is willing to bestow, he may be the more earnest in his suit. I'd say pursuit. We go to God for pardon of sin, and no work is more pleasing to him than to seal pardons. Mercy is his delight. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. We pray to God for a holy heart, and this prayer is according to his will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. We pray that God would give us a heart to love him. How pleasing must this request be to God? This, if anything, may excite prayer and carry it in a fiery chariot up to heaven, when we know we pray for nothing but that which God is more willing to grant than we are to ask. 6. No mercy can be bestowed on us but in a way of prayer. Mercy is purchased by Christ's blood, but it is conveyed by prayer. All the promises are bonds made over to us, but prayer puts these bonds in suit. The Lord has told Israel with what rich mercy he would bespangle them. He would bring them to their native country, and that with new hearts. Ezekiel chapter 36. Yet this tree of the promise would not drop its fruit until shaken with the hand of prayer. That's verse 37. 4, quote, all this I will yet be inquired, close quote. The breast of God's mercy is full, but prayer must draw the breast. Surely if all other ways are blocked up, there's no good to be done without prayer. How then should we ply this oar and by a holy violence stir up ourselves to take hold of God? 7. It is only violence and intenseness of spirit in prayer that has the promise of mercy affixed to it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Knock, and it shall be opened. Knocking is a violent motion. The aediles among the Romans had their doors always standing open, so that all who had petitions might have free access to them. God's heart is always open to fervent prayer. Let us then be fired with zeal, and with Christ pray yet more earnestly. It is violence in prayer which makes heaven's gates to fly open, and fetches in whatever mercies we stand in need of. 8. Large returns God has given to violent prayer. The dove sent to heaven has often brought an olive leaf in its mouth. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Crying prayer prevails. Daniel in the den prayed and prevailed. Prayer shut the lion's mouth and opened the lion's den. Fervent prayer, says one, has a kind of omnipotency in it. Sozomen said of Apollonius that he never asked anything of God in all his life which he did not obtain. Sliden reports of Luther that perceiving the interest of piety to be low, he betook himself to prayer. At length, rising off his knees, he came out of his closet triumphantly, saying to his friends, "We have overcome. We have overcome." At which time it was observed that there came out a proclamation from Charles V that none should be further molested for the profession of the gospel. How may this encourage us and make us hoist up the sails of prayer when others of the saints have had such good returns from the Holy Land, that we may put forth this holy violence in prayer. It is requisite there be a renewed principle of grace. If the person is graceless, no wonder the prayer is heartless. The body, while it is dead, has no heat in it. While a man is dead in sin, he can have no heat in duty. Number 9. That we may be the more violent in prayer, it is good to pray with a sense of our needs. A beggar that is pinched with poverty will be earnest in craving alms. Christian, review your needs. You need a humble, spiritual frame of heart. You need the light of God's countenance. This sense of need will quicken prayer. That man can never pray fervently who does not pray feelingly. How earnest was Samson for water when he was ready to die? Judges chapter 15, verse 18. I die for thirst. Number 10. If we would be violent in prayer, let us beg for a violent wind. The Spirit of God is resembled to a mighty rushing wind. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Then we are violent when this blessed wind fills our sails. Jude, verse 20. Praying in the Holy Spirit. If any fire be in our sacrifice, it comes down from heaven.